Do we have any audience questions? I have a...
I might as well ask a quick one. Look, just a couple of things. The supply and demand feels to be something that we haven't developed around the industry yet, and to give clear direction. And it doesn't have to be prescriptive, but general, these are the skills and these are the reasons why the industry exists. This is what we see short-term and long-term. I'm not seeing that that exists, and there's so many different stories you hear across universities, TAFEs, and industry. I don't think we're on the same page. I think we need to have a moment where we all come together and actually help each other come up with that that direction. I don't think it's happening at the moment.
Yeah. I am completely with you on this one. And during the ERG process, we talked about exactly the same thing. Yeah. And we were hoping. I'm hoping this will happen. The agency itself is maybe the vehicle by which they can actually set those goals, because it's not one entity that can do this. You need a much more top-down approach, which includes defence, includes everything else. You haven't got to be exactly right, but just having a bit of a projection into the future, like you say, and then mapping that out would help everyone, including universities.
And I think we need to make sure it evolves as the industry grows. It's not a static thing. It never can be. But you know, to give some instruction would be really helpful, I think, for our national industry and how we're perceived globally to grow.
Yeah, totally great. Can I? What do kids think are the jobs that in this space sector? I mean, what actually are they?
Astronaut.
Thinking? Right. Yeah. 100%. Okay. There we go. Okay. So maybe industry can work with us on this one. Next question. Thanks.
So I agree with what you were saying about internships being really important. I was wondering where you stand on vertically integrated projects, because not every student can get internships. Not every student is eligible, but vertically integrated projects give all students an opportunity to be included in industry projects right the way through university, not just at kind of the higher levels. So I was just wondering what your take on those were.
I can only speak about my previous job, which was the head of IT and mathematics at the University of South Australia, and we had some of those with some of industry partners, projects that came into the university, but obviously not in space.
Mm-hmm. But was it, I mean, how did the company actually propose that kind of a long-term project? Was it the same, they were willing to wait 3 years for an answer?
Yes, well, it was actually pieces of projects that made up a larger system,
sure,
rather than one problem waiting for, you know, over a long time. Yeah, mm-hmm. We had several of those, in fact.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, hi, Joe Winter from Singularity and Space in Canberra region. Firstly, I just wanted to give a bit of a plug to an initiative by CSIRO's Data 61. I recently went to one of their, let's call it speed dating events in Canberra, where that you essentially interview, they were all graduate students or PhDs or soon-to-be PhD students, and so you had like 5 minutes with up to sort of 12 to 15 of these graduates who got to essentially pitch to you, and obviously we got to pitch to them what our business was. But going back to your placement question, or I guess that you posed, and we were one of the ones that held up our hand to say that we have an intern, but she's just, as soon as she finishes writing her PhD, she'll be coming to join us for a few months from the ANU, as it turns out. So we're pretty excited about that. But one of the challenges that I've found in trying to recruit interns from, or even get work placement students out of TAFEs and universities, is the lack of a national or standard approach to what that means. So for some universities it means, so for example in the engineering colleges usually they have to do 120 hours I think to get their sort of professional accreditation, and that's usually unpaid, so they'd come and work for you or a range of employers to get that 120 hours. And so, for example, I've had those placements before in other jobs I've been in, and I've found to make them work, you have to have a very clear, small, well-defined project, not just for the student, but also for yourselves, because you have to manage that student who usually has quite a low skill base, and so you have to actually put a lot of investment into not only, I guess, giving them the skills, because that's why they're coming there, in a sense. As an industry or a business, you're kind of investing in your ecosystem. But there's also the safety aspects in engineering workshops. You know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, and so you have to invest into them there. So that's, I guess, one thing that can sometimes put people off perhaps having placements, but the other one is, well, some universities like Griffith University, if they have an internship, you don't need to pay the student because that will actually make their insurance for the student null and void. Other universities expect you to pay the student. Ideally, obviously, as a business, we don't want to pay the student, but in one sense, we are actually already investing. You know, that one student probably consumes 2 to 3 people's time, you know, 2 days a week, which for a small company like Singular and Space, 7 people, we're a startup, you know, it's a big investment. So in a sense, you know, I don't feel bad about saying ideally that work placement should be, you know, the university should also pitch in potentially by, you know, making it just part of their programs or their courses. For example, with the ANU Space Centre, they could get a lot out of doing a placement with a ground station company like Singuland, for example. So that national approach to what a placement means, I think, would be quite useful.
I think there's a fair point, though, well made. I mean, is this the model looking forward where it's actually a shared cost and in kind, and maybe the university itself is stumping up some of the cash, or government is able? Is this the future workforce developed through these internship programs on national scale? Does anyone see that happening?
Well, I agree with what he's saying, because if you even take it down to the high school level, and I'm sure that VSEC get a lot of phone calls as well, my child's got work placement and they want to, you know, be Australia's next commercial astronaut. Where do I send them? I don't know where to send them. So, you know, maybe it's something that we as an industry can look at and put some recommendations in about making it a streamlined process, and that it is a part of a uni course or part of a high school course. And if it is work placement, who's prepared to have them so that we're somewhere to direct people. Mm-hmm. And then people do know then what they're biting off, not just mystery surprise.
All right. In the interest of time, is there another question?
G'day, Gary Hale, just joined Curtin University, so add a bit of diversity from the west side of the rabbit proof fence. You talked about the national strategy that's lacking at the moment. In particular, I'm interested from the secondary school. If you look at, for example, what happens in Israel, they'll pick children out at the age of 5, 6, 7, they'll do normal school in the morning, and then they'll go do sciences and other things in the afternoon. I went through Western Australia, there's something like 90 different initiatives, like trying to teach them, but none of them are connected. Yeah. And so it seems like we're creating this ever-shrinking pool by the time they get to secondary school, by the time they get to university, by the time we get to, as a industry, look at them, that pool might be 2% of what started or less. Just your thoughts on, you know, the importance, particularly, I heard someone say at 4, you know, was when it happened, and particularly for girls, it seems a bit earlier as well, but I'd be really interested in the perspectives of that flow through of the pool of talent that we're creating at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
Totally agree with you. Look at our national curriculum. Ha, ha, ha. So many years spent developing something like this, and then it's a national curriculum, but it's not a national curriculum. It is disappointing and discouraging when you sort of work so hard to do something like that, and at the end of it, we don't have an Australian-wide or a national sort of perspective on what we should be teaching in our classrooms. Going back to your influences at 4 years of age, the research tells us that girls have actually made up their minds by 9 years. That's it. And it's going to be it's extremely hard to change their minds after that. So does the curriculum look at that? I don't think it does. So these are some of the things that we really need to look at as a nation. I always get up on my whatever it is, soapbox that I get up and talk about things like look at where research is in education, pedagogical research, and it is miles ahead of what's actually happening in the classroom. So we really need to look at the system itself. Geez, I said I wasn't going to say anything controversial, but I did.
Michael, for final anyway. Thoughts, because we're running out of time. Michael, instead of asking current industry figures to take the graduates from our universities, of course, those graduates can start their own companies, right, in the spin-off. Yeah. We finally get to your point in the last minute. What's your thoughts? What are the challenges and what can we do better?
Actually, the point that I was thinking about this morning was our universities have a sort of a model of doing research, and they get research income, and they'd like to just keep doing research and getting research income. their model is not actually to commercialise in Australia. Now, that's different in other countries. And I've encountered that to be a real problem. Not necessarily in my university, of course, but I have encountered that to be a real problem because the commercialisation, there's lip service paid to commercialisation at universities, and you might want to have a comment on this. It's not sort of part of the business model of a university. Because, you know, when a university commercialises small companies, you know, some of them will be successful, some won't, but it's not compared to the student, the money that's coming in for students, it's really a small amount of money. Sure. It's about impact. What I've found is the best way to get the university interested in commercialisation is about impact and about PR and then helping to bring students in. But really, I used to think industry was, as an academic, right, before I tried to start my own company, I used to think industry was the problem with research in Australia, but I actually think it's the university system as well. The university system is about doing research, doing research, doing research. Yeah. It's not about... All your research should have a life to it.
Sure.
It should then become development and then technology, et cetera, et cetera.
So is there a solution at this point? Change the incentives?
Yeah,
Andy, you have had success with it.
Just a very quick one. I think we are all responding to how we incentivized.
Yep.
The researchers are doing what they are doing, what they measured to do, to produce the papers and get the income. Actually, the government, as you know, has just changed those rules, and I think this week or next week we will get the ERA results, which not only value your esteem, but value your impact in industry. So watch the space.
So just a quick summary. We have to change the national curriculum. We have to change the entire incentivization structure for universities. And universities, educationers, and industry all have to go to government and change the entire internship program. And then perhaps we'll be ready for a future workforce. Thank you very much.